morning is taken from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What are your questions? What questions would you bring to Jesus? If we had an opportunity such as the one that is given here in John's Gospel, where the people, not yet Christians, people who were exploring, people who were trying to figure out this person, Jesus of Nazareth, the people questioned him. It's amazing and wonderful that this discourse is recorded for us in God's Word, because we see a wonderful opportunity where people could bring their questions, their confusions to Jesus and say, "Who are you and what are you doing? And how are we to be a part of this?" They brought them their concerns, their questions, and Jesus answered them. What questions would you bring to Jesus this morning as we encounter the living Christ here through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we encounter God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, God who created all things, redeems all things, and sustains us this day? What questions would you bring to the Trinity, to Jesus at this time? So the first question that the people asked is simply had to do with a question of logic. They were confused. You know, right before this is where Jesus walked on the water. He walked on the water and, of course, was on the other side of the sea. It was also right after he fed the 5,000. So the people were so convinced that something is going on that when they couldn't find him on this side of the sea, they got in their boats and went across to the other side. And when they found him, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" They weren't so much interested in when as in how. How did this happen? Why didn't we see this taking place? And why are you over here when you're over here? And then, you know, they might as well have asked, "How did you feed the 5,000? We don't understand these sort of things. How is it that all this is happening?" They were basically asking Jesus, "Why doesn't the world make sense? Why isn't the world always logical and reasonable? Why is it that we have things that happen that we don't understand, that we can't grasp, that our brains won't wrap around, and yet those things happen?" They weren't just asking about those things that were miraculous, I think. I think they were asking about their lives. Why is it that we are under Roman oppression? Why is it, if we are the chosen ones, why is it that this is happening to us? Why is it that we work hard just to pay super high taxes to people who are not always treating us fairly, the Roman tax collectors? Why doesn't our world make sense? Perhaps that's one of the questions you would pose to Jesus as well. Perhaps at times we all pose that question. Jesus, God, why doesn't this make sense? Why can't everyone live lives of peace and happiness and fulfillment? Why can't everyone find the path that is there that you have presented for us? Why can't everyone live toward truth and for the betterment of all people? Why does evil exist in the world? And why at times does it seem like righteousness is so weak and evil is so strong? Why doesn't our world make sense? And Jesus responds to their question, just as I think Jesus is responding to our questions, even as we are posing them right now. And in responding to the question, Jesus says to them in verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes." Why doesn't our world make sense? Jesus goes straight to our priorities. We work for the food that perishes. We do not have as a high priority the food that is everlasting life, the truly important things in life. Jesus says the world doesn't make sense because we don't have our priorities in order. We don't have our priorities. We haven't focused ourselves entirely upon God. And you know, and I know, that as we live out our lives, priorities are priorities and things have to happen and we have to do certain things. And a lot of times we find that our spirituality is way down the list because it just seems like that's the only way that things work. And then we began to wonder, why is my world not making sense? Jesus says, you're working for the food that perishes. You need to work for something else. So when Jesus responds to them and answers that question, then they ask another question, of course. They're getting answers. They want to know more and more and more. And so they say, what must we do to perform the works of God? What must we do in order to do these things that you're telling us we can do, these amazing things? What must we do? Or perhaps they're asking the question that perhaps you've asked as well. How can I make a powerful difference in the world? How can I make a significant impact in the lives of others, even if it's just one other person? How can I make a difference, a significant impact? How can my life count for something? How can I do the work, not just my work, but the work of God and accomplish great things for God? How can we do that? I'm sure the people of that ancient day understood that that was a vital part of their discipleship. Their walk with God was to make a difference in the name of God in a world that was filled with pagan religions, in a world that was filled with world powers that had nothing to do with the faith in God. And so they were saying, how can our lives matter? How can our lives make a difference in the world? And Jesus responds, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. He simply says, if you want your life to make an impact, if you want your life to make a difference, if you want to have a significant difference in the lives of others, to truly work for the transformation of the world, then believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe, have faith. We would go further and say, and put your faith in action. But Jesus stops right there. I believe Jesus is saying, if you believe, if you have faith, then your faith will compel you into action. But it starts with having faith that our actions matter, having faith that that God will bless our actions. Having faith when we go to God in prayer and say, what step should I take? How should I proceed? What should I do? Having faith that God hears us and answers us, that God directs us in the paths that God would have us to go. How can my life make a difference? Jesus Christ says, have faith. And then, of course, they continue on with their questions. And they say to him, what sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? In other words, if you are saying that it's all about having faith, then we need you to do a sign. The one who had fed the 5,000, like that wasn't good enough. The one who had crossed the sea, and even though they couldn't figure out how he did it, that wasn't good enough. They wanted, you know, one more thing, sort of like Gideon and the fleece, you know, make it dry, make it wet, that sort of thing. So he's saying, one more thing, we have to have another sign in order to truly believe and in order to truly know that you are the one. And they said, you know, Moses gave them manna in the wilderness, and so therefore the people knew to follow Moses. Well, we know from reading the Old Testament, of course, that even though they had manna, they after a while complained because they were tired of manna. They said, you know, we're tired of these honey wafers every morning. We want Rice Krispies every morning. You know, they got tired of it and then gave them quail, and then they got tired of eating quail. So it wasn't all a bed of roses. And Christ is real quick to point out, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread. It was God who gave you the manna. God presented the manna. My mother was sort of a, let's see how to put that, stern high school teacher. And she had done it long enough to where she knew all the tricks. And she taught math as well as business courses. And in her math classes, if you started asking for, well, how do you figure this out? And what are you doing? We don't understand all that sort of stuff. She would stop, and then she'd start her famous lecture number 1347, which was, students just want to be spoon-fed. All you want to do is have all the answers provided for you. You don't want to think and figure it out yourself. You just want someone to say, here it is, here it is. And she would do her spoon-fed lecture. Every semester she would have to do that spoon-fed lecture because she saw it as something that would stop intellectual growth if all you wanted to be was spoon-fed with all the information necessary. So Jesus encounters these people who are questioning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, the Holy Trinity, questioning God, and God is responding. And here they said, yes, but we've got to have proof so that we can make a difference. How can we believe? How are you going to make it easy for us to believe? Or perhaps it was a plead. Please make it easy for us to believe. And Jesus Christ says, yes, I will do that. The answer to that is simply that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. When we come to Christ, when we come to God, we're moved by the Holy Spirit and realize that we have questions about life, questions about faith, questions about how we make a difference in the world, as to how God can make it easy for us. Let us remember the answers that Jesus gave. Make sure you're not focused too heavily on the bread that perishes. Make sure you realize that to truly make a difference, to truly make a mark in the world, you believe in Jesus Christ. Make sure you understand that the answer to all the questions is simply that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Let us pray.